Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam. You are listening to the Asma'ul Nabi program with myself, Muhammad Bam, and online I have is Mawlana Muhammad Ali from Maribag. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, how is your health today?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Mawlana, we can carry on with the program.
Jazakumullah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة صدق الله العظيم All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to continue showering His blessings and not to deny us and not to deprive us on account of our own sins. We humbly and very, very sincerely seek forgiveness from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for our sins and for the sins of everyone on the face of this earth. And we beg Allah Ta'ala to forgive them and to forgive us. And to remove all the darkness of the sin. And most importantly, we ask Allah Ta'ala to send down beneficial rains, which He has promised that He will send after we make istighfar to Him. So inshallah, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala continue showering us with this great blessing of His, amongst His many, many blessings, that is beneficial rains, and that will fill the dams, that will make the rivers flow high, and that will soak the ground, and that will provide sufficient moisture for the vegetation and will provide water for the animals and other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we continue with our lesson, the Asma'un Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we had discussed a number of series on the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Imam. Today we are going to move over to a new name, which is subhanallah, a very beautiful name, and which has been recorded in the books of Durood as well as in the other books of Sirah. And we find that in the book of Durood by Hazrat Maulana Musa Bazi Ruhani Rahimahullah, he has mentioned this name, as well as Sheikh Yusuf Ismail al-Nabhani has mentioned in his book Ahsan al-Wasail, where he has mentioned the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we are going to discuss. And what is that name? Sahibul Mimbar. Sahibul Mimbar. So we find that Maulana Musa Ruhani Rahimahullah has included it in the books of Durood, in his book of Durood, Al-Barakatul Makkiya, as follows. Allahumma salli ala Sahibul Mimbar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, send your blessings upon Sahibul Mimbar. Now what is Sahibul Mimbar? Means the personality of the Mimbar, the person of the Mimbar, the owner of the Mimbar, and the one associated with the Mimbar. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he directed and conducted and addressed many of his sermons, teachings and advices on different occasions via the Mimbar, that means physically standing on the pulpit. Mimbar is the Arabic word, and the English word is the pulpit, where he ascended, and from where he gave his discourses or his sermons. Therefore, he was seen as the person of the Mimbar. And the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in, very often, when they used to recollect a certain advice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then they used to say, that was after his demise from this world, they used to say, for example, that picture or that scene is still very, very vivid and clear in front of me when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing or sitting on the mimbar, on the pulpit, and he said the following things. And sometimes they will describe his turban, that he had on this color turban while he was standing on the mimbar. So we find that this mimbar did the pulpit of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did constitute a very important point in the lives of the Sahaba, a central point, like how we have the masjid, like that. In the masjid, they had this picture of him standing and giving bayan from there. Now we are going to talk about the minbar itself, and then we will look at other aspects. Now when we look at the minbar of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the pulpit, we can look at it in three different phases. The first pulpit is the one that was erected and constructed for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter, there is a second phase of the same pulpit, which was in Islamic history, a pulpit in the place where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's minbar and pulpit was and used to be and is. And then we have another level of the same minbar where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about the minbar, for example, on the day of Qiyamah. So we will look at it in whichever way it might be. It is his minbar, like for example, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made a very important important point by advising us, for those of us who are fortunate, and may Allah continue for honoring us with this great fortune of visiting Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he, amongst other things, has demarcated, or he has directed and he has pointed out where the Rawdatu min Riyad al-Jannah is. He says, Ma bayna bayti wa mimbari. The area that is between my house and my mimbar is Rawdatu min Riyad al-Jinan or Riyad al-Jannah, is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. So we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a special mention of this particular minbar, apart from the fact that he gave lectures and sermons from there. So this is one aspect of it. So it is an important aspect, and when we do go to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we all are aware that that area is actually from among the shi'ar and the sha'air, the salient features of Islam. It is an area, which one? The Rawdatu min Riyad al-Jannah, that has to be respected and that has to be venerated. And when we are there, how we conduct ourselves, and we know it's everybody's desire, what they refer to as the area of the white carpets. So when we get there, alhamdulillah, may Allah take us repeatedly, then there is a conduct that we have to adopt there of great amount of humility and respect, and at the same time a great amount of conviction that I am standing in Jannah itself. And one side is the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the other side is this very, very auspicious spot where the minbar used to be. Now we are going to look at the history very briefly, and then we are going to speak about other aspects of the minbar. So first we look at the history. We know that when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived at Medina Munawwara, at that time the Masjid al-Nabawi was built. And the masjid at that time was not very vast, it was not very big, whatever the size was given by different people, some say 90 by 94 meters, and some have said a bit smaller and some have said a bit bigger, but basically that was the size of Masjid al-Nabawi. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to address the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. There was one area, which is now we can say, the back of the masjid now. When we speak of the masjid, let's look at the masjid of the first century of Islam. And then you have the front. So the front at that time was where the back is now. Meaning that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to lead the salah, and the mihrab was in the opposite place where it is now, because he used to face Masjid al-Aqsa at that time until the command came for him to change his direction and to face Ka'batullah, Baytullah in Mecca. So up to that point, that was a different geography of the masjid, as we can in terms of direction. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform the salah from that part, which is now we can call the back. Then came the era when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to address the people from the front of the Masjid al-Nabawi. And when we are looking at the front, we are not looking at the present wall, which is known as the Mihrab al-Uthmani, where Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was honored to extend the masjid. We are looking at that area where the present minbar is, not the area where the Imam leads the salah from now. And that is the area where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stand and address the people, and also he used to perform the salah from there. The mihrab is there. Those of us who have the honor of going, and may Allah honor us repeatedly, the mihrab where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the salah, there is a little calligraphy written there in marble. Hada musalla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the musalla, this is the place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the salah and led the salah from. So, the minbar was in line with that. So there was the original, that was the original Qibla wall of Masjid al-Nabawi. Before the minbar was, the pulpit was erected, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to just address the Sahaba. Then it is mentioned that he started leaning against the stump or the stem of, or the trunk of a date palm. So, was that particular trunk there before? No, it was not there. It is mentioned that that trunk was placed specifically for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to lean, because sometimes he used to be standing and giving his bayan, his sermon, so he became tired, so the Sahaba put that particular trunk of the date palm and against which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to lean and give his sermon. And after a while, when the crowd grew much more and the people now increased, then the mashwara and the discussion started taking place that, you know what, we need to actually have some kind of a structure built wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can sit and stand where he is elevated. And that is where the discussion came about for the building of a minbar and construction of a minbar. So we look at the books of hadith, for example, Bukhari Sharif and other books. The person who built this particular minbar was actually the slave of a woman. And a woman came and offered to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to Bukhari Sharif and narrated by Jabir radiallahu anhu. She said, "Oh Rasulullah, shall I get something constructed for you to sit on? Because I have a slave who is a carpenter." That is the one. And there's another hadith also that has been mentioned by Suhail bin Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that the discussion was taking place, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the Sahaba that that particular woman has got a carpenter and he is her slave, and he will build that particular minbar, a pulpit. There are a lot of names of other people that have been mentioned. There are about 8 to 9 names of the people who have built the minbar and constructed it. So the historians have mentioned these names, but the simplest explanation to have so many names is these people were those who had assisted the main person, the carpenter who was a slave of this particular woman. And the wood that was used was brought from a forest, a wooded area out of Medina. The wood has been described in the books of hadith as the wood of Porfa. When it is translated into English, then it is translated as tamarisk. So this was tamarisk wood that was brought, and with that the minbar was constructed. And now it was placed along the wall, the Qibla wall of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to a hadith of Salma radiallahu ta'ala an, the distance between the wall of the pulpit was hardly enough for a sheep to pass through, Bukhari Sharif narration. So in other words, the minbar, the pulpit was kept right against the wall. There was a very small distance between the minbar and the wall itself, and we find that it was so little that the narrator says that hardly a sheep could pass through it. So this particular minbar was then erected. And that date trunk there wasn't touched, it was left like that. And then came this beautiful miracle, also very heart-rendering miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the minbar for the first time to deliver his lecture, at that time the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in was shocked to hear a crying, a painful crying and sobbing coming from this particular trunk. Subhanallah, what a scene that must have been. It was so painful, according to one of the narrations mentioned in the book Madarij al-Nubuwah, it is said that it cried so much that it developed a crack The crying was out of what? Out of the grief of having been separated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is how much of grief this particular trunk had experienced. So this falls in the category of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ulama have mentioned, the historians and the muhaddithin, they say Allah Ta'ala had given Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam the miracle of Ihya al-Mawta, bringing the dead back to life. But the more superior miracle that was granted to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this line was that a dead trunk of a date came to life and it started crying. And it is described like the painful crying of a child. And in another place, one of the narration, the crying of a pregnant she-camel. And the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in were all shocked and they were all overtaken by this particular scene. And what a scene it must have been. So, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to one narration, went to this particular stump and he hugged it and he embraced it and he comforted it. And according to another narration, the stump, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called it, and it was his miracle that it teared its way through the ground. There were no marble floor at that time, and came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who hugged it and who embraced it and who comforted it. Subhanallah. This was on account of the separation the tree and the stump had experienced on being separated from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started talking to this tree. And the books have mentioned such a beautiful discussion. And it says, Sahaba could not hear the discussion, what the tree was saying, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to it and says to the tree, to the stump, it was just a stump, you have a choice that you can be put back here and left on this place here, or you have a choice that I remove you and I plant you in Jannah. And then the waters and the streams of Jannah will moisten your roots and moisten you, through which you will then have beautiful fruit that are going to grow there. That means the fruits of Jannah now, because you are now planted in Jannah. And then the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eat that fruit. So what is your choice? So this particular tree answered, Na'am, Na'am, that I want to be planted in Jannah. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took this particular tree and he, the stump, it was just a stump, and he had a hole dug, and this stump was then buried in there. Where was this stump buried? In Rawdatul Jannah. Again, one narration is it was buried exactly at the spot where the mimbar is, and then the mimbar was placed over it. And another narration is that it was planted and buried just away from the mimbar. And it is buried there. And where this particular stump was buried today, we know the ustun. That means the pillar of Hannana. Hannana means this crying sound that we hear that came out from the stump. That is the name of this particular pillar. And it is also among the adab and etiquettes of us when we go to Masjid al-Nabawi, that we go and read two rakat of salah. And the ustuwana Hannana is written there. It is in calligraphy and it is embossed on the pillar itself in green and gold. Subhanallah. So Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then had it buried there. And on this particular incident, Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says the most beautiful thing. He says, Ya ibadallah, O servants of Allah, al-khashbatu tuhannu ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shawqan limakanihi faantum haqqu an tashtaqu ila liqaihi. That, O servants of Allah, this stump here that was crying for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of it being separated from him. Imagine it was only a stump, but you are much more entitled and deserving, and is much more becoming of you to have this kind of desire and enthusiasm to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to be with him. And according to another narration, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ama wallazi nafsu Muhammadin biyadihi. Law lam altazim huwa. Lama zala hakaza hatta yawm al-qiyamati huznan ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That had I not hugged and embraced this stump when it was crying like that, and had I not comforted it, and this stump had continued, would have continued crying out of grief till the day of Qiyamah on account of being separated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us to visit, and may Allah ta'ala put the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sunnah in our heart, and may Allah make us from among those who have the genuine desire to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this way we find this particular stump was buried there. Now, after that, when the masjid was renovated sometime later, it is mentioned that Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu had it removed because of the renovation, and he kept it by him, but then this stump was destroyed by the termites. So that was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. But we can now question that it was supposed to be buried in Jannah. We are talking on the physical burial, and the tree itself is obviously in Jannah. Like how when we bury our dead physically, we say they are in Jannah. That is another realm which we are not discussing now. And the mimbar that was built, now we're going to look at the mimbar itself that was built for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mimbar was built with tamarisk wood, and according to the measurements, it is between 2.5 meters high to about 1 meter broad, with three steps. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stand on this particular mimbar, and he used to stand on the third step. And it is said when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu assumed the khilafat with the blessings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with the permission of Allah ta'ala, he stand on the second step. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was honored by Allah ta'ala to stand on the mimbar of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stood on the first step. And after that, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu also stood on the first step of this particular mimbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way we find that the mimbar stayed there, and then as time went on, it was renovated. But what happened, unfortunately, was in the year 644 Hijra, a fire took place in Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the caretaker went to go and fetch the lanterns that were used to light the masjid. In the process of bringing one of the lanterns, the flame caught onto one of the wooden areas, and it put the entire masjid to fire. And at that particular fire, this mimbar was totally burnt. It was destroyed. But this was much later. Before that, something else also happened, which has to be mentioned. In the time of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, he had ordered the governor of Medina, whose name was Marwan, that you must put another 6 steps below the mimbar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in other words, the 3 steps are going to be highly elevated. So the first 6 steps will lead to the 3 steps of the mimbar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way it was done, and it was kept like this. So the mimbar was now extended in height in the time of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Another interesting fact that has been mentioned, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is mentioned, wanted to preserve this mimbar and had intended to move it to Sham out of love for this mimbar and his love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he wanted to keep it there. But it is mentioned in the books of hadith, in the books of history, that when he tried to remove it, an entire darkness enveloped Medina at that time, and he took this as an omen and a sign that I'm not supposed to remove this, although his intention was very, very pure. So he did not remove it. And then that mimbar remained like that. And when the first fire broke out in Masjid Nabawi, there were 2 fires. One broke out in the year 654 Hijra, and the other one broke out in the year 886 Hijra, when the Muazzin, the head of the Muazzin, went up to the Minaret to give Adhan. At that time, a lightning struck. The Muazzin also passed away, and the Minaret caught on fire. It was made of wood, and that fire again came, and it destroyed the entire mimbar, the parts of the Masjid al-Nabawi. The mimbar was destroyed in the first fire. Obviously, this is the wisdom and the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. We accept it, that these things the will of Allah Ta'ala, though it was a mimbar on which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seated himself, but Allah had willed it to be annihilated and removed from the masjid in this way. That is Allah's will, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. Nevertheless, that is how that mimbar. And thereafter the mimbar was replaced, and we have it up till this day. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the minbar of the day of Qiyamah. One is we mentioned, he says, مَا بَيْنَ بَيْتِي وَمِنْبَرِي رُوضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ, that my, that the Jannah is between my house and the minbar. So that is the first hadith. Then another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمِنْبَرِي عَلَى حَوْضِي, that my minbar is on the house or will be on the house. Meaning what? One, the interpretation by the ulama is that the Hawz al-Kawthar will start from where the minbar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. And another one is that no, wherever the Hawz al-Kawthar is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect this minbar, like how all of us are going to be resurrected. The same minbar is going to be placed there. Or it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will construct a brand new minbar for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the day of Qiyamah. And it is going to be placed on the Hawz al-Kawthar. Where on the Hawz al-Kawthar? أَحَدُ شِقِّي الْمِنْبَرِ عَلَىٰ أُقْرِ الْحَوْضِ, that one part, one corner, one edge of my minbar is going to be on the edge of the Hawz al-Kawthar. That means right on the edge of Hawz al-Kawthar. That is the one hadith. And another one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ مِنْبَرِ عَلَىٰ تُرْعَةٍ مِنْ تُرْعَةِ الْجَنَّةِ, that my minbar is going to, my pulpit is going to be constructed in one of the valleys of Jannah. So this also could refer to present roses of Jannah is from among the valleys, or on the day of Qiyamah we'll see the actual scene of Jannah, and we'll see the minbar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we'll see the Hawz al-Kawthar covering one area, and obviously we are going to see Jannah. And one more hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَوَائِمُ مِنْبَرِي رَوَاتِبٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, that the legs of my minbar are going to be embedded in the Jannah itself. So these are different narrations with regard to the minbar. So when we speak of sahibul minbar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man, the personality, the owner of the minbar, it refers to this minbar in the different phases that we had come to see it. And obviously in this day and age where we go there, that minbar has been built by the present regime, and they have built it, and whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had honored to build before that to construct and reconstruct. But it refers to that spot where the minbar of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us repeatedly to visit Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be in that area, and on the day of Qiyamah, let us be among those who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks and smiles upon, gives us Hawz al-Kawthar water while he is seated on his minbar. وَمَا عَلِنَّا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Jazakallah Maulana for that inspiring program. Do join us next week at the same time with the Asma'u Nabi program with Maulana Muhammad Ali. From myself, Muhammad Bam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.